Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. My fellow Americans, this is the broadcast for January the 14th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is our guide, and absolutely we're convinced. The checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A lot of people come up to me, ladies and gentlemen, and they say, you know, Sam, how come you say that at the start of every show, almost every hour, that whole long thing, you know? Some think it's poetic or nice when they hear it the first time, but you know what, Sam, it's kind of long, it's kind of boring. We know what you stand for, we know who you are, we know what you believe in. Why do you say that over and over and over? And there's reasons we do so, ladies and gentlemen. First off, you understand that it articulates who we are and what our focus is. And on one hand, you can say it's long. On the other hand, it's what, 30, 45 seconds? And I think it's worth repeating and repeating and repeating because it articulates the fundamentals of this radio broadcast. You know what? Our goal is to promote God, family, and country and to protect life, liberty, and property in the traditions of our founding fathers. You gain a lot about who we are from that. You know that we're a broadcast that looks back to the founding fathers with respect and appreciation, with gratitude for their sacrifice. It articulates six words, the promotion of God, family, and country. That's what we believe are the answers to America's woes and to societal ills and to the culture war and the cancel culture and everything else. We believe those six words are the anecdote. If you promote God, turn to God, promote family, turn to family, promote and respect and appreciate country. And then if you protect life, liberty, and property, what is the purpose of government? What is the reason that we promote God, family, and country? Because it's all about life, liberty, and property, or the pursuit of happiness, right? These are fundamentals to the Constitutional Republic. These are fundamentals to a God-centered, family-centered life. These are fundamentals to the purpose of government to protect life. Without government, we wouldn't have the ability to protect life, liberty, and pursue happiness. We wouldn't have the ability to protect property. Some of the anarchists, even Becky Akers, who frequents this broadcast, would say baloney, saying we can do it otherwise. The debate rages on that. All I'm telling you is that I believe that the proper role of government has its legitimate place. I know, Sam, but governments always get out of control and run off the rails. I know, people, I get that, but I also understand that our founding fathers articulated it well. They created a grand old experiment. That experiment was designed to try to say, how do we balance tyranny and anarchy? How do we avoid the right and the left extremes? How do we realize that, you know what, without government, there will be a vacuum and something will fill that vacuum with power? How do we stop that from happening in a negative way? How do we put enough power in government to hold or to prevent the vacuum, but yet not so much power that it can't take over? And the founding fathers came back and said, look, only religious people can do it. Only people who turn to God and realize that God's higher than government can do it. Only a people who realize they're the ultimate sovereigns can do it. By their consent, shall we create a proper government? We will lock it down with checks and balances and vertical and horizontal divisions of power, etc. We'll do our very best. But at the end of the day, you've got to have moral people that live self-governed moral lives. And if you don't have that, this government is wholly inadequate for the governing of such. So, you know what? Without a religious people who are self-governed and who obey the laws of God, the Ten Commandments is the starting point for that blueprint, right? Then you can't do it. So the Founding Fathers even, they created a constitutional republic. What kind of a government do we have? A republic, if you can keep it. They're saying you got a very unique government. The grand old experiment was successful for a self-governing religious people. And some are saying, well, it's proven not successful now, Sam. And my response is, that's right, because we're not a moral, self-governing, turn to God people. That's why. And our founding fathers simply said it will not work for the governing of any other. Okay? So it's very clear. And so the reason that we spend so much time talking about that beginning phrase of the radio program, repeated over and over and over, is because it articulates that we promote God, family, and country. We protect life, liberty, and property. We do it in the traditions of our founding fathers, showing respect for them and carrying forward their legacy and their understanding of and need for the proper role of constitutional limited government, but a respect for the sacrifice they made, an appreciation of and a dedication to the supreme law of our land. So we document that we're a law-abiding people, that we reject revolution, and we stand for peaceful restoration. I get that we need to defend ourselves from time to time from out-of-control government. I understand. I also understand the founding fathers did not have the blueprint when they fought King George. They had to fight, give their blood, their sacred honors, everything on the altar of that liberty tree, so to speak, in order to allow us to have the blueprint for liberty, the Constitution. We now have the checks and balances in place, and we can peacefully restore government if we will. And I'll give you examples of that as the broadcast unfolds today. But I'm telling you, we have the seeds in our solution, the proper role of government, at our fingertips. And if Americans are a moral, religious, honorable, self-governing people, obeying the Ten Commandments for starters, turning to their God, not their government, for answers and solutions, understanding the free enterprise system, etc., we will be successful. If we don't do those things, we won't be, okay? It's not an indictment against the country. It's not a hate-filled statement. It's a factual reality check for us all. Where to turn for solutions, what we can do about it, how we can be involved. It should be a positive, invigorating opportunity. When people listen to this broadcast, hopefully they walk away going, I know it's gnarly out there, but I have a place. I have a role to play. I was born for this day, and I can participate, and we can get it done. We, the people of America, can be self-governed. We can obey the Ten Commandments. We can use the checks and balances that our founders gave us to pull down power, to demand accountability, to create transparency, to right the wrongs. See, that's what it's about. And so we articulate this because it says so much about us. If they tell you that we're violent and that we advocate for violence, they absolutely lie. And you know what? We start out every program saying we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of America. Okay? That is not violent. We say it literally every hour. And we've done so for, what, almost 25 years? The words have slightly changed as we've improved on the broadcast over time, as things have become more clear to us about who we are and what our role is and what role we play. News the networks refuse to use because we challenge the mainstream press narrative of dishonesty and manipulated news and painting with a broad brush. And we highlight how we believe it to be. Okay, for example, we don't believe that Donald Trump took over the Capitol and killed everybody and that all Trump supporters are evil. That's a broad brush, mainstream press, dishonest, fake news lie. I do believe there was some, Trump supporters in the mix, in the melee. Shame on them. Prosecute all law breakers to the fullest extent of the law, please. We stand against it. Always have. Always will. We're law and order people. We reject revolution. We reject insurrection. That goes without saying, right? Insurrection is part of revolution, is it not? Okay, so we reject all that, and we always have. But we do believe that President Trump meant well. He wanted to really have a 10-day audit of the elections, which still needs to happen, but no one's talking about it but me that I can see. We still need to stand by those things, even if some bad guys created a false flag operation and pointed at the Trump supporters. We need to step back and say that wasn't us. Even if it was some Trump supporters, that doesn't mean that they represent the rank and file Trump supporter. Most of us are peaceful, and we're not going to be responsible for the acts of some wacko or some deranged person or somebody who wants to create intentional blowback or somebody who betrays us or whatever words you want to use. That's not me. That's not us. That never has been and never will be. Right? So we need to stand tall for the things that matter. And no one's speaking up, in my opinion, for the president. No one's speaking up really blatantly to say, look, I know some bad actors did things. They should be accountable. But that isn't us, and that's not we. That's not who we are and what we do, right? But I'm still going to push on the election fraud. Okay, I'm still going to push on the violation of the First Amendment at every turn. The First Amendment's under assault like never before. Okay, look, freedom of speech, even the president of the United States can't speak through the normal, quote, modern day new media taking center stage channels, can he? They shut him all down. They say he might create violence. President Trump has created no violence, ladies and gentlemen. The bad apples that did that need to be accountable and arrested for sure. We all agree with that. But President Trump did not do that at all. Well, he incited violence, Sam. What words incited violence? Be strong, fight for what's right. I don't get it. I don't see the connection. I think they're lying. And you can see how they're lying as they oppressed their advantage like you've never seen before. Never let a good crisis go to waste, said Rahm Emanuel. And boy, howdy, do we see that as a reality check right now. Trump's right. Trump was standing on the moral side of this thing. And they have literally, with fake news in the media, dishonest government officials, turned it around and pinned the tail on the donkey falsely against Trump. Now they've isolated Trump to where we don't know what he really thinks and says. All we know is Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, and a few people have encouraged him, whispered in his ear to send out a video of peace. Well, I support the video of peace, but I don't support letting the true concerns of fraud in our nation on one of the most fundamental rights we have, the right to vote. I don't see how we should let that go, and I don't see how that relates to the violence at all. Do you? All right, Trump refused to take blame for the attack, says USA Today. That's good, but now he's peddling a video that talks about the peaceful transfer of power, which I agree with the peaceful transfer of power. But I don't agree with locking down Americans everywhere. Unprecedented violation of freedom to peacefully assemble and freedom of speech and freedom of religion right now. I don't agree with those things. And I'm not willing to set it aside because a couple of wackos get violent. Liberty Roundtable Live. I am Sam Bushman.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. And order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman. I've got Brian Russ, RussQuinn and Gift.com with me. Welcome back, brother.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Wow, there's so much to take on. The FBI claiming armed protests are planned in all 50 U.S. state capitals. We reject violence, Brian. The FBI also issued warnings, believe it or not, before the event last Wednesday. And I'm making the point that I agree that there was some whacked out violent people. Some of them may have been Trump supporters. Some of them, obviously not. All of them, in my opinion, heck bent on breaking the law. They should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. We reject their violence. We reject their ill-gotten behavior, to say the least. However, the majority of Trump supporters were not violent. We all wanted a peaceful solution. We wanted Congress to investigate election fraud. Of course, no one's talking about that now but me, but we need to really investigate that. That was a peaceful desire and attitude. When Trump said fight, go to the Capitol, he didn't mean go to war or use weapons. He meant fight for the right and help Congress and House and Senate see that you're serious, that we really do want accountability in elections. And that's what he meant. Now it's being all twisted around and manipulated. And the problem is now everybody's forgot discussing about what's important. Trump's like, oh, let's have a peaceful transfer of power. Well, I agree. But what about this idea that we still need to look into election fraud? What about this issue where we have the First Amendment under assault like you've never seen in our lifetimes before? Those things we cannot let go of, even if they claim we're not peaceful. They lie, but we still need to stand on the fundamentals. Brian.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Sam. Actually, you know, you've had people on the radio here just a bit ago, the last little bit, explaining their situation and that they weren't all storming the Capitol. And the left is basically just looking for any opportunity to twist, to take a story and run it a different direction. And they don't want to allow us to get to the truth. They really don't. They're just making everything chaotic and hectic, and they're and the news is right behind it, which really throws fire, gasoline on the fire, I guess you could say. And so this is where we're at. I mean, and it's been going this way for, down this road for a while now.
Sad tale to tell, but true as could be. One Capitol police officer was arrested. Two are suspended. 15 are under investigation now. Many are saying it's an inside job, and I think to some degree that may be true. And the proof is in the pudding. Twitter now suspends 70,000 accounts. YouTube is suspending Donald Trump, saying that violence might be the result of him being on some of these channels. It goes on and on and on of the abuses we're taking over this because a few people go wacko. Impeachment 2.0 literally happened now. They impeached the president of the United States for the second time. This has never happened to a president before to get impeached twice, Brian.
Yeah, unbelievable, they just can't. I think you look at Pelosi, she just can't let it go. And that's the problem, too. I mean, her agenda for the last 4 years has been not to just bring him down. And she said, I'm going to bring him down. She just, it's just unbelievable that that they're doing this kind of thing and her push behind that. And it doesn't matter what's happening. That's her agenda. And we didn't put her in office to do that. But boy, that's kind of what she wants to do. And it's just sad that others are jumping on the bandwagon with her. I think they want to save their job or put them in a position, but they don't care about the people. And we've been saying this for years in the fact of, that the wrong is right, right is wrong. And where are we headed? Well, why are we going down that path? And it's just absolutely pathetic.
Yes, it is. Now, here's what's interesting. Not only did they impeach the president yesterday, for the second time, ladies and gentlemen, I guess over 10 Democrats agreed with the, I'm sorry, 10 Republicans agreed with the Democrats on this. And it's kind of an interesting twist. In addition to that abuse, they also voted in the House for a House impeaches President Trump, 232 to 197, 10 Democrats voted in favor of impeachment against the president. So they got it done in the House. Now the House of Representatives also passed a, quote, non-binding measure calling on Vice President Mike Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove President Trump from office. Pence says he won't do it. The non-binding measure does not require Senate approval. So they've even done that now, too. And this time, one Republican went along with that one. So two measures in the House against Trump. And I don't think it's about anything but trying to make sure that Trump can never run again. Because if Trump gets completely impeached, meaning that the Senate buys off on it, then it'll never happen. Now, to Mitch McConnell's credit, which I rarely give credit to Mitch, but Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, his office confirmed that he will not consent to reconvening the Senate before January 20th, or January 19th, I guess it is, effectively killing hopes for removing President Trump from office before the final day, if you will, of peaceful transfer of power. Before Joe Biden's inauguration, in other words. So that's an interesting twist there, too. Without the Senate, the House, and Republicans in the midst would have already sold us down the river.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's ugly. I agree.
Wow, it's hard to, you know, he's the majority leader right now, and so that's why he has so much power. But the second, you know, January 20th comes along, Mitch McConnell's will not be the majority leader anymore, right?
Yeah. So that what happens then? Huh? Yeah.
Well, then they will have a vote in the Senate. And since
right.
the Senate's primarily controlled by the Democrats, they will likely impeach President Trump completely. And I don't know that he can stop it. Hopefully there's enough Republicans in the Senate that dissent to stop it. But I don't know. I don't know that we have enough Republican support. I guess hopefully a couple of Democrats will see it for what it is and say, you know, I get that you guys hate Trump and you want him to never run again, but I'm not willing to go that far. I'm not willing to accept that because Donald Trump went to the peaceful rally and said, hey, fight for what's right and let's walk to the Capitol and help support these people, that I don't believe that rises to the level of insurrection. Hopefully there'll be a few Democrats that see it that way. Otherwise, I think he's going to be completely impeached.
Yeah, I agree. I just think that, you know, we kind of been hoping and hoping and hoping over the last little while and hoping, and it doesn't seem to come to fruition. I just think that, I hope as well. But, boy, I'll tell you, a lot of these hopes haven't really come about just simply because they don't care really about our hope or anything, just common sense. They just, it's unbelievable.
Well, it's hard to know where to go with that, except that is the status right now. And we'll keep an eye on that ball, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get more details and kind of uncover that as it unfolds. For now, though, Brian, let's get an update on the economy, though. The economy doesn't seem to be taking too bad over this, thank heavens, right?
Well, yeah. You look at the stock market, it's just going through the roof. You've got, just everything else. Everything seems to be climbing, but the metals are kind of still doing their yo-yo up and down peaks and valleys type thing, bouncing all over the place, and it's interesting to watch, but yet, they're the numbers out there and people out of work and still hit hard and everything that's going on. Inflation's right here. We're already in the middle of it. And so, yeah, anyway, let's get to the metals.
All right, so we're talking gold. Last time we talked, it was, 1897?
Yeah, right now we're sitting at 1842.60.
Okay.
Silver's 2538.
So silver's down too, right?
Yep.
3.8?
Silver. Yep.
Okay.
You got platinum sitting at $1,107.
Okay.
Palladium's 2421.
Kirk doesn't want to hear any of that. He just wants to know about the rhodium, sir.
And it's 20,500.
Whoa! Isn't that quite a bit up?
Yeah.
So in my opinion, that's probably one of the best indicators that something is amiss, right?
That's right. They're not manipulating that. Not much of it to manipulate, but as far as availability, but it's kind of crazy.
Wow, that is crazy. All right, well, man, there's sure a lot going on in the news, and you would think that things would be more volatile in the gold and silver markets, but for some reason their manipulative powers really have control. But I guess in the rhodium is where you can really kind of see the difference, huh?
Yeah, there you go. One interesting factor, even though our numbers are kind of spiking and up and down, your silver Eagle dollars right now, they're selling over $30. They're $32 a piece. Gold, your gold's $2,000. Yesterday we tried to order material, and the mint is shut down on the Eagle, making gold Eagles.
Hang tight. I want to talk about this. Why on earth would the mint be shut down? Is it the cocoa or the civil unrest? What the heck? Hang tight. Brian Rust has answers. Hopefully. Liberty Roundtable Live, Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Wednesday, the House of Representatives voted to impeach President Trump on account of incitement of insurrection. The tally, 232 to 197, was mostly down party lines, with all 222 Democrats and 10 Republicans in the House voting to impeach. Former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder has been charged with willful neglect of duty that left the city of Flint, Michigan with lead-contaminated water for a regional outbreak of Legionnaires' disease in 2014. Snyder and others were scheduled to appear in court on Thursday. No governor in Michigan's 184-year history had been charged with crimes related to their time in office. Former 2020 U.S. presidential candidate Andrew Yang on Wednesday said he will run for mayor of New York City as a Democrat in this year's elections. Yang attempted to become the Democrat Party's nominee for presidency last year with a pledge to create a universal basic income that would pay every American $1,000 a month. USA Radio News.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
A report card on how states are doing with the COVID-19 vaccine rollout. USA Radio News' Tim Berg takes a look.
North Dakota has done the best job of administering the COVID-19 vaccine to residents. The state has used 73% of the vaccine doses it received from the federal government. Next on the list were South Dakota, West Virginia, and Connecticut. At the bottom of the list is Arkansas, which has administered just 16% of the doses it received. Other states near the bottom include Georgia, Alabama, Arizona, and South Carolina. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Another social media company has silenced President Trump. Snapchat permanently banned President Trump from its platform on Wednesday. A company spokesperson says, in the interest of public safety and based on his attempts to spread misinformation, hate speech, and incite violence, which are clear violations of our guidelines, we have made the decision to permanently terminate his account. Thanks for listening. This is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, we've got Brian Rush, RushQuittingGift.com, riding shotgun, and he says basically the U.S. Mint is shut down. So I know the U.S. Produces coins in multiple locations. Brian, is it completely shut down or just mostly shut down?
Well, from what I understand, I mean, they haven't halted all production, but as far as Gold Eagles and Buffalo, the Gold Buffalo pieces right now aren't being produced. You know, I don't know if I've been trying to find out if it's more of a catch up or what, but right now production, and that would be very interesting in the fact that the demand is already high, very high on physical products. I mean, just a day or so ago, I mean, we probably had in one day probably more than it's just amazing the amounts of things we're selling and trying to get and ordering and so on, and it's just an influx of hard to get product. And longer wait. So,
and they're primarily saying it's the corona that's the reason, because of the cocoa, right?
Well, they've used that. They've used, yeah, that was part of, you know, shutting down and so on. Right now, I'm not sure. You know, one factor that comes into play a little bit is when you have all these governments or whatever competing against each other trying to produce their coins. They need metal. And so that they're fighting, I think, amongst trying to get metal to produce these coins to sell. So I think the production just really isn't, or availability to produce is, hit some hit some halts here, I guess it looks like. So that's kind of what's happening.
You know, you can take it at face level or face value, and you can say, you know what, it's probably the coronavirus. It might be the capital, whatever, and it's not safe, so we're not going to continue. We're going to put a temporary halt to it. Another suggestion, though, would be, hey, you know, they want to create a coin shortage. They want to create a cash shortage. Their real goal is to move towards a cashless society where they have complete dictatorial control over the money and the funding and everything else. And this is one of the excuses they have to move the needle in that direction. First, you create a coin shortage. Then you create a cash shortage. And pretty soon, the Federal Reserve and others are required to do different things. The coronavirus is the great cover. They say CDC is now requiring all air travelers to the United States to have a negative coronavirus test before they can even get on the plane to come to the United States. So they're really drilling down on this thing. What do you think, Brian? Is the conspiracy theory accurate, or do you think that just the circumstances are the truth?
No, I think the later is right. You know, it's just it's kind of like we learn, we prepare. I mean, preparedness really kind of gives you freedom in a sense, you know, peace. And basically, we've been saying to people, you know, you just need to prepare. You need to just be putting a little away. And realistically, in any sense, because if otherwise they start taking away some of these things or forcing you to do more and more things, well, at that point, it's almost too late. Oh, I've got to pull. It's like if they do a devaluation of our currency. If we wait to the fact of a week before or a few days before, well, realistically, you're not going to be able to convert that, you know, if you've got a lot of cash per se and they devalue, you're not going to be able to convert that cash. So, because it's too late. So we kind of say, you know, you need to prepare. And like you say, yeah, little by little, they take away the freedoms, move this direction. And before you know it, what's the adage? Satan leads you down to hell and you didn't even know you were on the path. So.
Wow. All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So there might be more and more and more gold and silver shortages. Rhodium way up, telling you there are crises in the markets, even though they can mask them pretty good in the public eye when it comes to gold and silver for various future reasons and manipulation reasons and et cetera. But I find this interesting. You know how I always tell people don't dip your toe in the crypto, Brian?
Yeah.
Because I believe that it's a farce, and I believe people can get scammed. Well, listen to this headline. The New York Times is looking into this situation, but here it is. He's down to the last two guesses, Brian, to access $240 million in Bitcoin. I guess what they say is when you forget your password, buddy, it's disaster. And so he forgot a password, and now nobody can get the password because, of course, it's digitally hashed in the BitChain or whatever else. And so nobody can get it. Nobody knows the password, and there's no way to recover it, they claim. And so this poor guy's got $242 million on the line, and he can't remember the password. Now, you've been in a situation where you've lost something or misplaced something for your life. You just can't think of it, and you just want to kind of bang your head almost, right?
Right.
What if you had $240 million just a password away, brother?
That's not good.
Oh, my goodness. You'd be beating yourself up pretty good on that one, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd be like, hey, is it my wife's name? Is it backwards? What's her?
I'd be afraid to tell my wife, you know? Yeah. Oh, we're good.
$242 million in the case of this one guy. Now, they say don't worry about this one guy. Because he has a bunch of passwords and a bunch of Bitcoin. And even though he can't get the $240 million that's locked up because he forgot one password, he does have a bunch of other passwords and a bunch of other Bitcoin treasure troves. And therefore, he's still fine. A sign promoting Bitcoin buying and selling is seen in a Central Texas Gunworks in Austin, Texas, is kind of the photo they have on this article. I find it kind of interesting. Very interesting. It's promoting buying and selling of Bitcoin, you know? They say it sucks when you can't remember your password to say Amazon or something like that, you know? But it really sucks when it's right on the tip of your brain and it keeps you from accessing millions of dollars.
Right.
Now, here's the problem. If you guess wrong too many times, buddy, you know what happens? Your account will be locked forever.
Oh.
Now, this guy, by the way, that we're talking about, he's down to two last guesses, Brian.
Wow.
Now, you've seen video games or mazes or something like that where someone's about to crack the code and they're like, all right, here goes nothing. Boy, howdy, here goes nothing.
He's sweating.
Now, they say this is the plight of many a Bitcoin owner. The New York Times, which notes, listen to this, of the 18.5 million, quote, pieces of cryptocurrency that are floating around, about one-fifth of them, worth $140 billion, are either lost or stagnating, what they call Loctite virtual wallets. The issue revolves around what's called an iron key. It's a small hard drive that holds the digital keys to one's Bitcoin wallets. You need a password to open that iron key, buddy. And if you forget it, you only get 10 guesses before it's, you know, gone for good. And there's nobody, because of the algorithm and the way this thing's built, that holds the ability to help you get it back. Anyway, I bring this all up because did you hear the amount of money they're talking about? Listen,
yeah.
Of the 18.5 million pieces of cryptocurrency, one-fifth of them worth $140 billion nobody can get at. But here's the question that I have for you. What happens when that occurs then? Are we just going to have that currency never available to anybody ever again? Or later down the road when no one's a-watching, will somebody be able to whittle that number down or commandeer a little piece of that Bitcoin floating around there to the tune of a couple of billion dollars? Okay, what on earth is going on, Brian?
Yeah, good point. You know, I imagine there's going to be a number of these hackers. I know, obviously, maybe there's you can't hack into this, but maybe there is. They're going to be out there trying to get a piece of that pie. I mean, it's floating around somewhere. Maybe the spiritual realm out here, they know the code.
Amen. And
if
hackers,
we could lock into the
hackers are saying that they can eventually get at this, though, guaranteed. They just don't know how quick.
Yeah, there you go.
So my point, though, is when I say don't dip your toe in the crypto, I think this guy that's banging his head over this, whatever, $200 million, whatever it is, this guy's going, man, I hear you, brother. Now, he's got enough Bitcoin, so he doesn't have to worry. But my point is, it's so easy to lose track of it. And if you have literally billions of dollars floating around that no one can get access to, does that debase the currency to have lost percentages in your, quote, I don't know what you want to call it, availability of funding? And what does that do to it? And what would it do to it if somebody found those treasure troves at a later date? You can't rely on this, Brian.
Yeah.
It'll be a boom and a bust like you've never seen before. And what happens if a big guy with a lot of currency loses their password? Instantly, huge chunks are just available or not available at a whim. You can't rely on a system like that because it will absolutely plunge or peak those prices to the point of no return.
Yeah.
Am I crazy?
Yeah. No, well, it sounds, you're right on, I think. I mean, that sounds about right.
But don't worry, the U.S. Mint's closing their facilities, and hey, Bitcoin, this guy's down to the last two guesses. That ought to make you feel good about the economy, huh, Brian?
That's right, and the feds are willing to pipe in some more currency. Just turn to them. They'll make some more.
You got 10 seconds. Here is Joe Biden's inauguration theme. You ready for it?
Yeah.
America United.
They're trying to unite us, aren't they? Doesn't it sound like it?
Yeah, but under what? The Constitution or the tyrannical agenda?
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks, Brian.
Hey, you bet. Have a good day.
RussQuinnGift.com, always doing a phenomenal job.
Writ large, that they have to spend a little bit less. Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, Brian Rust, RustCreditGroup.com, always does a phenomenal job on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, breaking it down like nobody's business. He's fun, he's educated, he's interesting. Brian Rust, over the past 50 years, ladies and gentlemen, along with his family, multi-generational coin dealer. Brian Rust, over the past 50 years, Rust Coin has been working to educate customers about precious metals. RustCoinGift.com to learn more. He's having trouble getting some real money because the, quote, mints are closed, right? U.S. Mint closes two facilities amid the coronavirus crisis. I don't know if it's the corona or the capital or whatever else, but they're certainly creating a hard money shortage, if you will. That's tragic, but there is still a lot available. And Brian, if anybody can get their hands on it, it's Brian. So get a hold of my buddy Brian. Honest Money Report, gold right now, $1,842.60. Silver right now, $25.38. That's spot price, folks. House impeaches President Trump with 230 to 197 votes. Yeah, 10 Republicans joined Democrats in favor of impeachment. It's the first time a president of the United States has ever been impeached twice. Now, you got to debate what impeached means because the House did it, but it has no consequences. Unless the Senate does it as well, the House of Representatives did also pass a non-binding resolution, if you will, calling on, it's a non-binding measure is what they call it, asking Mike Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment and remove President Donald Trump from office. Pence says he won't do it. Mitch McConnell's office also confirms that he will not consent to reconvening the Senate before January 19th, effectively removing hopes of removing President Trump from office. Of course, you know that what's going to happen after that is then the Democrats are going to take charge. They will probably impeach Donald Trump. The Senate will probably get it done, cementing President Trump's legacy of failure in their minds and cementing that President Trump will not be able to run again in 2024. That's what their real goal is. Shame on them. It's dishonest. It's politics at its worst. And there you have it. But they are heck bent to make an example out of President Trump and then use that literally to usher in a new era. The COVID, the COCO, the attack on the Capitol, riots across the country, primarily fomented by the liberals and the left and the extreme and whatever you want to say. They're going to use that to remake America. If the COVID and all that doesn't work, they're going to add climate change to the mix to push their agenda. And anybody who speaks out against it, they're going to threaten arrest. They're going to threaten putting us in training camps. Oh, yeah, these people are evil, and they're heck bent set on their agenda. They're going to manipulate currencies. They don't want digital currency unless it's under government control. So they do want to jettison the dollar and create a, quote, Operation Jubilee, satanic as all get out. They want a financial reset, and you got to be aware of that. That's all coming your way. Now, don't be negative. We've been in tough spots before in America and in the history of the world, and the believers in Jesus Christ always come out on top, so have no fear of that. Nevertheless, it'll be a tough road to hoe along the way. And we got to gird up our loins and get it done. And the best way to do that is to stand with God, family, and country, promote the protection of life, liberty, and property, stand for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, yesterday we talked about they want the black national anthem to, it's called Lift Every Voice and Sing. They want it to become the national hymn USA Today. And the idea is the blacks have been so wronged, it's now time to give them, quote, you know, fair play. But they don't really want equality or fairness. What they really want is reparations. Slavery reparations. That's where they're going. Write it down. Remember who warned you. There will be a serious push for that on the shoulders of Lift Your Voice and Sing or whatever else. Now, the people that have been wrong the most in America are the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Literally experienced an extermination order in the 1800s under Governor Boggs of Missouri. And I'm not here to bring that up in a negative way, but my point is that a lot of people have been wronged in the past. We shouldn't celebrate those wrongs. We should a little bit of hang our head in shame. But more importantly, we should look to the future with faith and hope and not repeat the negatives of the past. But if we're going to make any hymn, maybe the national anthem, maybe it ought to be the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints written hymn. It was written by William Clayton, a well-known Mormon at the time, and it's called Come, Come, Ye Saints. Should that become the national hymn? Now, I'm not serious. I'm joking, but I'm making a point. We cannot promote every wronged people into the limelight at the expense of others and create reverse discrimination or reverse abuses all on the altar of making something right. What we need to do is stand together as Americans and say, look, the past was wrong, but we're grateful we're all here now, and we're grateful we can see straight through the true lens of history, and we'll make sure never to repeat the negative side, and we will promote that which is good, honorable, and right going forward. Let's stand shoulder to shoulder to get it done. Big tech creating a bunch of that inequality as well. Ron Paul says big tech has been given tens of billions of dollars in taxpayer-provided sweetheart deals, and boy, howdy, is he right about that. We also talked about U.S. hospitals are pushed to the brink, they claim, as COVID-19 persists, and I don't believe it's true. Now, I believe there's a few hospitals in a few areas where that might be the case, but massively over the nation, it's not true. L.A. might be an exception. But I got a question that seems like the more they force masks and the more they force distancing and the more they shut down the population, the greater spread of the COCO we have. All right, now that's interesting. It's also interesting in my mind, this idea that we're going to ignore this doctor that testified before Congress representing a whole organization. His name is Dr. Pierre Corey, and he testified before Congress, before the Senate, about a drug called ivermectin. He said, I can't keep doing this. I beg you to review the data that we in our organization have presented. He was in a COVID-19 Senate hearing, and he basically said this. Now, they've attacked the doctor relentlessly, saying he's a political hack and nothing but a medical quack and everything else. But they've wrongly attacked this gentleman. He's spot on right. His organization making a difference. He's got an organization that I'm researching. I reached out to try to have an interview with the doctor or somebody from their staff. But it's called FL, like Frontline, FLCCC.org. No, I'm sorry, net. I'm sorry, FLCCC.net. Check it out. Listen to me. FL, like Frontline, Florida, if you will. FLCCC.net. Check it out, because I'm telling you right now, this doctor and this group are on to something big. And our prayers are for their success. So when President-elect, as they call him, which I don't, by the way, when the Biden team announces their inauguration theme, it's called America United. Could we unite on getting rid of the COVID and using ivermectin and other things to solve that? Yeah. Will will our buddy Joe Biden do that? I doubt it. I pray that he does, though. I truly pray he does. So I'm writing in my notes, check out FLCCC.net. It is worth your time to know about the COVID and solutions to the COVID. All right, man, the economy is melting down. You can watch it in the rhodium numbers, as we mentioned. They can manipulate gold and silver, as we mentioned, but they also can't manipulate the price of a car. The average price of a new vehicle in America today has topped $40,000 for the first time ever as Americans switch from generally passenger cars to more expensive USVs, or SUVs, I'm sorry, and pickups. Prices are rising to the point where the average down payment on a new vehicle has reached an all-time high as well. Okay, so the average down payment has reached an all-time high as well, and the average car price for a new vehicle, $40,000. I don't believe that's sustainable. Folks, I know this. I can't buy, and I have never bought a $40,000 car in my entire life. And that's just the average cost. That's not even a high-priced vehicle. There's no way I can't even buy cars that are half that, hardly. I say hardly because I've done it before. I don't know that I'd do it again. But there you have it. Listen to me. The average price of a new vehicle has topped $40,000 for the first time as people jettison passenger cars and move more towards SUVs and trucks, pickups. Wow. That is shocking. The average price of U.S. gas is up 9 cents to about 235 cents. It might have slightly changed. I got this number a few days ago, so it might be slightly different. But they say it's way down from last year. That's a blessing, but it's going up. I wonder if it'll be worse, huh? And the last headline of the hour, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. I'm against masks, as you know, because I don't think they work. I think it's a bunch of propaganda. And you say, Sam, do you reject the science? I actually had a family member say that to me. Sam, do you just reject the science on this? No, I agree that masks can help in very controlled, very situational settings. If you take a bunch of medical personnel and train them how to use masks and you give them the right kind of masks, let me say that again, the right kind of masks, and in a controlled environment that's really regulated and controlled and people are absolutely trained and vigilant, masks can help. I don't deny that one bit. But when you take the average population and you take masks that people make on their sewing machine or masks that don't rise to the level of what's needed, and then you have people run in and out of places, touching their face, taking off their mask, putting it in their pocket, putting it on the next day to go in somewhere else, over and over and over and over, I submit to you that you're creating a worse problem than you started out with. More people are touching their face more than ever and everything else. People who don't know how to use the masks aren't trained to wear them properly. The masks don't reach medical level status. And so people are touching their face. Little kids sneeze in their mask and put it on later. You know, and you say, well, you're supposed to throw them away. I know, but people don't. People can't afford it. Where are you going to get a mask? And you walk into a place 5 times a day or whatever else, or you wear it at work all day. Where are you going to get masks to change every day? Well, Sam, they're free certain places. Yeah, but you don't know what grade they're at. You don't know. Okay. And all I'm telling you is I'm convinced that when you have a non-educated population putting on and off and on and off and off the same masks that are not set to medical grade, untrained people, close proximity over and over. So I put on my mask and I'm in close proximity to 10 people. And then I leave and go to another place and I'm 10 different people. And I got that same mask that's full of germs. I'm breathing in it all day long. And that breath has, you know, mist or humidity in it. And then it sticks to the mask and then germs. And I'm convinced you're creating a bigger problem than no masks at all. Now, I'm entitled to that opinion. You may or may not agree, but here's the point. Here's the reason I bring this up. Now they're saying, should you be double masking? I kid you not. They're really saying, should you be double masking? You start achieving some pretty high efficiencies when you do, they claim. And I'm going, are you kidding me right now? Are Americans really going to start to double mask? Where's the money going to come from for the masks for that? Hey, we need our buddy Fauci, the top doctor, to lie and tell people not the double mask because we can't make enough masks yet. Why doesn't he lie and say we don't need double masks for a couple of months until we can ratchet up manufacturing and sell more masks? And then he can come back and say, well, by golly, I was wrong. Double masking has proven, and now they roll out a bunch of studies, and now you're going to double mask? I mean, this is just insanity on steroids, ladies and gentlemen. Don't buy the lie. Double masks will make the problem even worse. You'll start to affect people's breathing. You'll start to drop the oxygen level for people. You'll start to have more and more and more. Why not just make the masks thicker? In fact, why not just prevent people from even being in proximity with anybody forever? They're going down a rabbit hole of absolute tyranny on this dishonest lie. Most people touch their faces way more when they have a mask on than when they don't. And those masks certainly are not clean, safe and effective in a population that doesn't know how to use them, doesn't know how to refresh or change them, and doesn't know how to relate to them in any trained method. It is disaster. Mark my words, write it down. Research proves that I'm correct. Hour one of the can, two coming up. LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, tell the tale. God save the Republic.